invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to Ezekiel chapter 33. I have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, again, we are thankful to be in the house of God one more time. Dearly Father, we don't ever want to take it for granted. We don't ever want to just come and say it's a duty. Heavenly Father, sometimes there are things that we are required to do. Dear Lord, it's a blessing to our soul. And as Brother Walter mentioned from time to time, and dear Lord, we don't know when that time you come and you just anoint our own spirits personally in a great way, or the congregation or the service. But Lord, we certainly don't want to miss it. Dear Lord, when Jesus appeared to the disciples after he arose from the dead, or after he was crucified and then arose, Heavenly Father, he appeared to certain ones, but Thomas wasn't there. And they told Thomas, "We've seen him. We've seen Jesus." And Thomas wouldn't believe unless he seen him for himself. And Heavenly Father, we've mentioned many a times in our services, Lord, myself, we've been in camp meetings, revival services, and listened to the songs and just been blessed and anointed in a special way. Go home and take that tape home and listen to it again. And it's not the same. It's not the same as it is being there, Lord. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be in every service that we're able to be, Lord. We don't know that time or that hour. You, Lord, will pay us a very special visit. Lord, we want to be there. So as they told Thomas, Lord, we've seen him. But we're thankful that Thomas had the opportunity that Jesus proved himself to Thomas one day. But dear Lord, we want to be faithful to you in our services to you. So we ask you to be with each and every one that's here this morning. We ask you to anoint our hearts, our ears, our minds, our spirits, Heavenly Father, that we'll receive the word that you've given us this morning. We'll certainly thank you for it. Anoint me, anoint the word, and we'll certainly give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I've probably mentioned this several times in preaching, and this is a message that I have that isn't the first time I preach it. And, you know, when I put a message together, you know, God gives me a particular thought and a way to go. And sometimes when we read the verses of scriptures, you may kind of think, well, I know where he's going, and then we may turn the thought different ways. But I ask God many a times to help me to present the thought as God has given me the thought. And to help you, and I say that because sometimes, like I said, we may read a verse of scripture and your mind, especially those of us that may have been saved for a while, our minds may go in a different way, or a way that we think that the thought may go for the message, and it isn't. So we ask the Lord, to help me as we go through some of these thoughts here this morning. And Ezekiel chapter 33, and this is a verse, a chapter that's very familiar to myself. And from time to time, I read it myself, remind myself, and we need to also be a reminder of this chapter also. We're going to pick up in verse 1, Ezekiel 33 and 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword cometh, if the watchman seeth the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away, and take any person from among them, he is taken away his iniquity, but his blood will require at the watchman's hands. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, when thou surely die, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his way, and the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. You know, I was thinking this morning as I was going over my message, As us as saints have been saved for a while, and I think about it the same way with a job sometimes. I faced it a couple years ago when our company sold the job, when the company that I work for sold, and we have a new company now. Totally different man, totally different company. And I can remember when it first took over, and I've been with the other company for 20 years. So you get used to how things are ran every day. I mean, you just know the process, you know what happens, you know what's going to go on, you know how they run the place, you know. But when another company comes in, it took us a while to sort of get the old ways out and learn the new ways of a new owner. And there was a while where we were still dealing with some of the old ways. And it took some time. And I'm talking maybe sometimes 6 months or even more. Just to, well, what happens if this happened, this is how we dealt with it. We don't deal with it that way anymore. So in the same thing as us as saints of God that have been living for the Lord, we sometimes get used to this is the way it is. This is the way it happened. But when maybe some new people come in or whatever, or new situations happen, we have to learn some things or relearn some things and adjust to certain things. Now here, God has given Ezekiel here the word, and the story of this, behind this, if none of you are familiar with it, back in the time when there were cities and they had walls around the cities and things, and the people would go outside the cities and work and things and garden or whatever, that God said to set a watchman on the wall, and that watchman sat high on the wall, and he was able to look out way over the land, and if he seen the enemy coming, I was thinking this morning, I wish I had some type of a trumpet, meant to bring my harmonica out, but this is a part there. But if the watchman seen the enemy coming, he was to blow the trumpet. And he was to blow the trumpet loud, long, and clear for those that are outside the city. And when they heard the trumpet, they weren't to make an assessment of whether what he was blowing it for, but they were already understanding that they were to get inside the city for safety. And if they heard the trumpet and they got in the city and the doors were shut, the gates of the city were shut, they were saved. They were physically saved. They weren't killed by the sword of the enemy. Well, God does the same thing today in a spiritual aspect. We don't have necessarily an enemy with a sword that's going to come and kill us physically, but we do have an enemy, the enemy of the soul, the devil, and he is doing his very best to destroy you and I. Amen. And one of the things that God has done also, he still has ordained that there be watchmen on the wall, there be ministers on the wall, there be pastors on the wall to sound the trumpet, and the trumpet is the gospel word. Yes, and to sound it, not only just to sound it, but to sound it long, loud, and clear. And I believe God has, I didn't really realize this too much until I became pastor and minister, but God gives a minister and a pastor a burden and a desire and an understanding. As I read this chapter many, 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 many years ago, and I just sat and absorbed it a lot, and God made me realize, and I'm wanting you to understand also, the responsibility, not as only on your souls, but mine. It's on my souls also. We have a world out there today of people that we'll get into a little bit later, of people that have taken up the occupation of being a minister, but are not sounding the true gospel trumpet of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said here, or God says here to Ezekiel here, he says, if you don't sound the trumpet properly, and you don't warn the people, and the sword comes and kills the people, then not only, one of the verses there, I think it said in verse 5 or something there, I believe it says, I think it's 5, and he heard the sound of the trumpet. The people heard the sound and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall his soul live. I think it's 5 or 6 maybe. But it talks about even if you hear the trumpet and you don't take heed, you don't listen to the sound of the trumpet, and the Lord and the sword comes upon you and kills you physically, your blood shall be, your iniquity you'll die in, but also, if you do hear the trumpet and you don't heed to it, the sound of the watchman on the wall, he will be held not accountable. But if I fail, as we have many ministers out there in the world, they are failing to sound the gospel trumpet, and you die, and it burdens me greatly. I have friends and family and people that are in different denominational churches. It burdens me. And they are locked in. This is what I was raised in. This is what I was born in, so to speak. I was raised in. And this is what I'm going to die in. And you're going to die and go to hell because your minister isn't preaching to you the gospel truth. And not only are you, and sometimes people think, well, because he's not preaching the truth, I'm not going to be held accountable. But God says, if you don't listen to the word of God, and you don't heed the Spirit of God, and you die in your sins, you'll be held accountable. But not only for that, as I said earlier, not only for that, but for me. And when God saved me, and I thank God for the desire to want truth, the desire truth, to live the truth. But as he called me to be a pastor, there was a great weight upon my shoulder also to preach the truth. To preach the word of God. Because I am going to stand before God one day with every single soul that I've ever preached to, not only you, but across the land. I am going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account if I spoke anything of knowledge, knowing, of false doctrine and led someone to hell. God's going to hold me accountable. Now that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility. That's why we often mention that we need to bring our Bible and we need to study it and we need to read it ourselves. It's not something we just listen to whatever comes from the pulpit, but to do that. People have to understand the responsibility of themselves and not only the responsibility of the pastor. Many times people will make a comment of, what's that noise? And it saddens me because they don't know the laws of the land, the laws of the Word of God. Sometimes this is the only time people will ever hear the Word of God, is in a building of the church. They close it, and that's where it stays all week. I know it because I've talked to people that claim to be Christians or claim to be spiritual people and have no idea of the things of God. So God lets us know here in this verse, in this chapter, about sounding the trumpet. And we know in our time, in our life, there's been examples of warnings that go out. A lot of us here remember the days when they used to do on the radio, they would do an emergency. And I think they still do it from time to time. You hear that terrible, annoying noise that comes on the radio, and then beep, and like, oh my goodness, when's that going to be over? And then it also comes on after that. This has been a broadcast, nationwide broadcast of emergency broadcast system, whatever, however they say. If there would have been an actual emergency, it would have been followed up by warnings or whatever, and I don't know if I ever remember. Now, I was trying to think of it this morning. I don't know if I've been old enough. But I know I wasn't old enough, I guess. I don't know, that might have been World War II, I guess. But I guess I remember hearing it, of air raids. Remember what the air raids were? When you heard the air raid sirens, what did you do? You shut your doors, you shut your lights off, you shut your curtains off, you did all that. You made the city go black because the enemy was flying over the city. And if they could see a large area where there was lights, that's what they would bomb. But they would make the air go black. Now, I understood, I read that a little bit, that there are still some air raid signs out today, and they use them in the process of flooding or some type of a disaster or whatever that might take place. We today may be more understanding with lifeguards. You see lifeguards on a beach, and they're sitting in an elevated tower, so to speak, or a higher place, and when they're sitting up there, they're able to overlook the area of the water, and they can see the direction of the water change, and they can see if maybe there was sharks or animals out there that would be in effect. And any of you have ever been there, and any time a lifeguard were to blow that whistle, and he or she usually blows that whistle long, everybody pays attention. Why? There's danger. And they may point to someone that's out there too far and trying to get them back, and sometimes they do come back, sometimes they don't come back, they ignore it, and they have to go out and get them and bring them back. So we have an understanding a little bit of that thought of a watchman on the tower, and God has given this purpose, and people have to understand the thought that why God has given it. It's for your benefit. It's for your soul. It's the purpose. God has given pastors today for the purpose of your soul. You know, over the years, sometimes I believe, and what I said earlier about us as saints, we get used to how things work. Sometimes visitors may come in or new people may come in, and they have already been accustomed to other congregations or other people out there in the world and how they work, and it may be different. Over the years, over my time of being pastor, I've heard different people. Sometimes people think a pastor, and I've heard different occasions, a pastor, all he does is just preach the word. That's it. Nothing. He has nothing to do with the church. Now, I've heard some, they have, now not us, but I've heard some, they have a certain time that they will counsel people. You don't call me between them times, don't call me. Don't call me after a certain time. Now, not us. So I hear things of how other things work. So sometimes people come in and they associate that same way with the world. Well, you can't call a pastor after, you know, whatever time sometimes, you know, whatever. You can't ask the pastor for counsel. All he does. I remember when I first became pastor and I made this comment to the congregation that I'm the type, and I believe as a church of God how we deal with things, I'm involved with everything. Every part, every detail, everything that goes on, because eventually I'm going to have to be the one to answer for it. The heat don't work. The air conditioning don't work. Lights don't work. Speaker don't work. Grass needs to be cut. The property maintenance of all things. I may not be the one to do that, but I may have the one to make sure it's taken care of and done. But a pastor. They're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. When God called me to be pastor, that's the burden he gave to me. I believe that's a burden that he gave to every true Church of God pastor. You're on call. So that wasn't a part of my thoughts here for this morning. But at any time, you never think that, brother. Well, you can't call Brother Doug any time of the day or night, as long as I hear my phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. If I do, a lot of times my wife makes me turn it off. But for other reasons. But it bings and blongs and all kind of things in the middle of the night. But you can call a pastor any time. Any need, any desire. But God has given congregations, people, pastor, not only for the benefit of the soul, but for any blessings that they may have a desire or counsel or need. When I think about that, and I've often wondered about that, pondered that over the years, when we think of what the purpose is of a pastor, and I wonder sometimes what kind of answer we would get from people. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceit. I don't know if the world would actually say these things audibly, but this is what the world says. This is what the world says to the pastors and the preachers and the ministers. Says to the seers, the pastor, the minister, the preacher, say not, or see not. And that's what he's saying to them. And that's what God has called, as he said to Ezekiel, as a watchman on the wall. He's the watch for the warnings. He's the watch for the things. And as a pastor, many of you may come to service, and you may come and you enjoy the service and you go home, but you have no idea what's going on with someone from the front of the church, to the back of the church, to the left of the church, to the right of the church. You have no idea. You have no idea how they're living or something. And many times I may not know a lot of things, but God, I believe, gives us some discernment of understanding certain things. And God helps us to bring the Word of God and to preach the Word of God of warnings, which we'll talk about. But a lot of times out there in the world, people, they say to the pastors, verse 10 there, they say to the pastors, see not. Basically, just preach the word of God. Preach things of love to us. Preach things about what a day that will be. Preach the blessings of God. Preach the benefits of serving God. Preach about the healings of God. Preach about the good things of God. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us. This is disturbing, that next phrase there, right things. Don't preach to us right things. Don't preach to us that we're supposed to be morally holy or morally right or holy living people. Don't preach to us those things. That's what the world is saying out there. So when we get sometimes people of mixed sometimes come in, and that's what they're accustomed to, they're used to. Well, my pastor never preached things of right things, or never preached holiness, or never preached anything of righteousness. Don't preach those things to us. And he says in the latter part of verse 10, speak unto us smooth things, easy things, things that I enjoy. Speak about the love of God. Speak about the good things of God. And there again, the last part there, he says, prophesy deceits. Man. And you know what's even worse? There's pastors preaching that very way. Yeah. And God says, whether you're a called man of God, a pastor, or you took up the occupation of being a pastor, God will hold you accountable to the words that you preach. And if you preach deceitful things, and you preach things are not right, and people lose their soul, their blood is going to be on their hands. I'm going to stand before God one day, not only for myself, of how I live, and if I live righteous, but I'm going to stand before God of the words that I preached to you. And if one soul were to lose their soul because I purposely preach false doctrine to them, God's going to hold me accountable also. And there are going to be many, many, many ministers in the world. They're going to be sent to hell with a greater punishment than just from sin. Ezekiel says, tell the watchman. It's a sound of trumpet. It's a sound of warning. There's danger. There's an enemy coming to kill you and I. And today he's coming to kill your soul and my soul in hell. My thought for this morning is you need to pray for the watchman.
Yes, that's true.
I need your prayers. And not only do I need your prayers, but you need to pray. You know, how many of us work for a company over the years? I like working for someone that's a good person, that treats me well, that does well, that maybe runs his company well. I like working for them. And I've worked for people, they're lying, they deceive people, they manipulate things. I've worked for companies like that. And I didn't work long for him. But I like working for someone that does well by his employees. And the man I work for now, I believe, is that way. I think he does very well by his employees and by how he treats people, customers, and things like that. Well, God says, and this in a sense the same way, not only do you need to pray for me because I need prayer, but you need to pray for me that your soul hears the warnings and the things of God in a proper way, in a righteous way, in a holy way, that you can make heaven. That you can hear the word of God that I preach, eat it, accept it, and live it in your life, and you'll make heaven your home. And you need to pray, the Lord, help Brother Doug to preach the word of God as straight and as forward and as loud and as long as he has an understanding to do it by the grace of God.
Amen.
And if you notice what I just said, as I understand, help me, Lord, never to preach something I don't understand. If I don't understand, I can just leave it alone. Sometimes God gives me, spiritual insight and it blesses me and I can give it to you. But sometimes God says there's some things we just need to leave alone. But to pray for me, because your soul's in need. Your soul's in jeopardy. Your soul, as if you're going to listen to what I preach, if you're going to listen to what I'm bringing you out of the Word of God, And follow that, your soul's in jeopardy. Not only am I responsible, but you're also responsible for what you hear. You need to ask yourself sometimes, am I diligent in hearing the word of God? Am I diligent in hearing God's word that is delivered to me? Am I, when I hear the word of God, Am I dissecting it, so to speak? Am I taking it? Am I chewing it? And am I listening to it? Am I, you know, and there again, what I said a moment ago, that God gives me the ability to preach as I understand it. Well, your understanding may not be there either. So sometimes some things I may preach, and God has, as I've gone through a little bit this morning, as God gives it to me, I said, Lord, help me to break it down, to dissect it, so to speak, so it's easy to understand. But not all the time does everybody understand it, but you're the same way. God can take and bring it and deliver you what you can understand, and what you don't understand, just leave it alone. God doesn't have a problem with that. If you don't understand, just leave it alone. And in time, God will bring those thoughts to you. But do you have a desire to hear the word? I want to know what God has for me. Every individual soul that comes into the service, and it's not a husband and wife, it's not a parent and children, not a brother and sister, every single soul that comes into service, they are responsible for how they receive the word of God. You know, back in the time of Jesus and everything, and back in the time of the New Testament there or whatever, there was a time where men and women sat on different sides of the church. And it was a part of thinking, I don't remember how it was, but Paul told them, the women to be silent in the church. He didn't mean for women not to speak. But what we believe was there at a time that women were coming into the church, able to come and to hear the word, and they had questions. And they wanted to ask their husband, what's that mean? What's this mean? Just be quiet. And when that church is over, you can either ask the pastor or ask your husband later on. So that's what Paul was saying. Sometimes we don't always understand everything that the Word of God has. But our desire is, Lord, I want what you have for me. And we have to be diligent to seek that out. Or a lot of times we say, it was just noise when I went to church. And I ask God to help me. See, one of the things about being a pastor and a minister, I preach sometimes and preach and sometimes and preach sometimes, and I don't see the effect. I've told you this, Brother Harley and I talked one time, and Brother Harley told me, and I agree with him 100%. He goes, Brother Doug, preaching is like sometimes pushing against that wall, trying to get that door a little closer. You preach, and you don't see an effect. And I ask God to help me. I long to see certain effects. You preach certain things and you see nothing change. Well, see, that also affects me. And I have to pray and I have to ask, Lord, am I delivering it properly? Am I delivering it right? So sometimes you might hear say, there was somebody, a minister said something, or there was a little joke. I don't know if it was a joke or actual happening. But minister preached the same message for like 3 weeks in a row. Somebody came to him after. He said, when are you going to change your message? He goes, when are you going to measure up to that one? Amen. Sometimes I think, Brother Doug, you preach a lot on that particular subject. You sound the trumpet sometimes, and people are too far out to listen or hear. Are we desiring to hear the word? Are we diligent to hear? Or are we just saying, what's that noise? Not going to go back over there in Ezekiel 33, but to verse 4, it says, hear the trumpet and take warning. And listen to the trumpet. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah 3 and 15. God says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. I believe by the help of the Lord, my desire has always desired to preach the truth. Amen. Because of what I read over in Ezekiel. There's a fear. There's a great fear on my soul to preach anything but the truth. And I have no desire to come off, and we read that or sang that song, I have no desire to come off the plane of holiness. Even just slightly, even a little bit. We sang that song, we must be holy. Holy, dear brethren, we must be holy, living before the throne. Self and possessions, everything I have, all must be truly given to God alone. Holiness, a plane of holiness. You know, out there in the world, you know, you go to school or you take any type of course or whatever, there's percentages that they allow you to do to pass. 70%, 80%, maybe 90%. But in the world, they don't ever require you really 100% to pass. They don't. Because they know we're humans. We don't know all the things. We're not maybe capable of having that much ability to pass 100%. Oh, you might get a person, one or two, get 100%. But there's a minimal requirement to pass something in school or a course you're going through. But God requires 100%. And he requires 100% because his grace is sufficient to allow us to achieve holiness all the time. He would never require us to achieve or try to do something that we are not capable of doing. Even though we may be inferior in the physical body, not being able to have the education or things to be able to do some things in the physical body, but in the spiritual, God has given us all the tools and all the ability, all the education to achieve holiness. When we get saved, when we ask Jesus Christ to save our soul, he puts us on a plane of holiness right there, boom, from the first day. And he gives us the grace and the power. That's why he told the disciples, it's needful for me to go back to my Father, because my Father's going to send you the Spirit of God, and he's going to teach you in all things. And as long as we hear the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the preaching of the Word, God looks at it as holiness. There's another word that we can use, righteousness. Same thing, holiness, righteousness. And that word righteous means just do what's right. I want to obey the Word of God. This is what I want to do. Yes. To the best of my ability, to the best of your ability, I want to be righteous before God. And that song, it even says that part of it, as I read the chorus, holy, dear brethren, we must be holy. How? Living before God. You see, you and I, we can see flaws in our character, our ability, maybe even our spirit sometimes. But God looks here. God looks at a heart, looks at what we understand, looks at what we know, and looks at what we're doing our very best at doing that thing and living for God. That's what God looks at. And our best may be far off of somebody else's best. I should go this way. You know, we may be living here at our best, but we're doing the best of our ability, living for God, and somebody else could, in a sense, be way up here, and we feel inferior to that. But God says, I accept your holiness because you're doing your best. I believe you're doing your best. You're doing what you should be. He requires holiness because he gives us the ability to do that. I hope your desire is not like Isaiah, to speak smooth things. I remember hearing Brother Barber, he was a pastor, the second pastor this congregation had many years ago, on a tape. And I don't remember what really the message was, but I do remember him saying this. He goes, sometimes, and sometimes you get up to preach a message, it's not a message that you desire to preach. And maybe there was something going on in the congregation and he had to bring it and mention it and things like that. But see, we always enjoy messages of smooth things, of blessings. I want to talk about the kingdom. I want to talk about heaven. I want to talk about Jesus. That's good. But sometimes we need to talk about some things that are warnings.
Yes, that's true.
Some things that maybe we're not living diligently. You know, I've been around a little bit of time too. Lord, help me how I say the proper words here, say the right things here. When I first got saved, there again, God requires us to be on a plane of holiness. Sometimes some ministers want to put us higher or live us higher above that. Things that the Bible does not require. And as Sister Ann made that comment, because I've heard Sister Ann's testimony, because people did that, we made many more trips to the altar than maybe we needed to. Because just as a school doesn't require us to do 100% because we may not be capable of doing that, God's not going to require us to do something we are not capable of doing. And if it's not in the Word of God, and in the past, over the years, some preachers have brought some things that weren't in the Word of God and held them as a standard and held them as fellowship, and required you not to be a part of the church of God if you weren't living in their standard. And the sad thing is, it's still going on today. Holiness, what God required, people want to try to make a standard higher than holiness, and they require, and they accept that as fellowship sometimes, and putting you out if you're not accepted. I believe we can see by the word of God, God has ordained there be pastors. There are some people that believe, I don't need a pastor. You're going to die and go to hell. I know that's not easy to hear. But people that may say, I don't need a pastor. I can sit and watch TV. Or I can read my own Bible and pray. Now, if you're not physically able to be in services, that's different. God understands that. But when you audibly say those things, I can make it to heaven on my own way, you're going to die and go to hell, because that's not God, how God ordained things. We have a card in the back. I meant to bring it up, and it's on the back little table back there, and they're for you to take if you want to give out. We had put them together some years ago and sent them out across the neighborhoods and all. And the card, the beginning of the front of the card says, do you have a pastor? With a question mark. And because I thought about that, there's a lot of people, they have that thought. I don't need a pastor. I don't need somebody to pastor me. And the reason is because they don't want to be preached to. But it says, do you have a pastor? And that card says, people have lawyers for the legal aspect. Now, if you have something, you got an automobile accident, you got something with taxes, you got something with your property, you got something at home, I need to go see a lawyer because they know all the details of it. I don't. So I have a lawyer to take care of the legal things of life. When I get sick, I have a primary care doctor. I go to that person and take care of the things of life. Well, God says you need a pastor for the spiritual. You need a minister for the spiritual. Do you have a pastor? People have all those other ones, but do you have a pastor? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. In verse 2, preach the word. So Paul's telling Timothy here, giving Timothy some instructions, is I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. You know, one time before I became pastor, when God was dealing with me, I think I've told a couple of you this. One thing that God impressed on my mind that really settled with me a lot, because I was debating, it was just a roller coaster of emotions sometimes. I felt God tell me in a very clear way, I need someone that's not going to quit. That time I didn't really understand it all, but maybe I understood some more too. It's easy to quit in anything. You get tired, you get weary, you just get frustrated, you just quit. But he told Thomas here, Paul told Thomas, preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Be ready to preach the word when you're ready to preach the word and when you're not ready to preach the word. Be ready. He said to reprove. That's not easy. That's not enjoyable. To rebuke. To exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And they shall turn. And verse 3. For the time will come. And I tell you, saints, if we're not here now, I don't know when we'll ever be. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke. That word reprove just means correction. Preach correction, preach things that are warnings. To rebuke, to express some things of disapproval or whatever. To exhort, to encourage. I think he was telling the story of the rich young man and Lazarus, when the rich young man, and that always encouraged me to help me to preach the word. You know the story when the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes And he started the deal with Abraham, and Abraham was in heaven, and Lazarus was in heaven, and he started to deal with Abraham and Lazarus a little bit there, and you know, at the beginning, they asked him for some relief. But after that, he said, "Son, send someone back." And always, a lot of thoughts in there. I won't get too deep into it, getting off my course. He said, "Send someone back that they would warn my brothers not to come to this place." Well, Abraham told him, which was God himself, basically. Abraham told him, he says, if someone were to come back from the dead and someone were to stand here and say, "Brother Danny, there's a place called hell. It's in torment. It's in fire. And you need not to go." And Abraham says to him, he goes, "He will not even hear them. Because if he won't hear Moses and the prophets, if he won't hear the preaching of the word of God, if he won't listen to that, he's not going to hear if someone came back." So God helped me with that thought of how important it is to be a preacher. How important it is to preach the word of God. How important Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because there's going to come a time where people will not hear. And you preach, and you preach, and you preach. See, I appreciate the saints in the Philippines. I've been there twice. And every time I've been there, and whether I preach or anybody preach, let me tell you what, their altars were always full. They came. They were receptive. They had a tender heart. And I said something to somebody, maybe it was Brother Harley one time. I said, "I tell you, if we ever go back to the Philippines and we see that stop, I believe there will be a great concern where their hearts have gotten cold or hard." Like United States. United States, you can talk to any minister, any minister across the country. The altars are cold. People don't come to an altar. People don't want to come. I'll get saved at home. God requires us, not requires us, but that's a good place for us to get saved is at an altar, is a public altar. Preach the word. But Jesus told them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not hear the preaching of the gospel and the ministers and the pastors, they won't hear if someone even came back from the dead. Verse 3, we'll read again one more time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Sounds like back in Isaiah. Preach to us easy things. Preach to us things that are not right. He says they'll turn their ears away and turn into fables more than the truth. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 28. Picking up in verse 28. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in and among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after themselves." But he says, take heed, over which God has made you overseers to feed the church of God. It's not my church. You know, I get a lot of people say that. They say, "Oh, I see you got a church now." I say, "I don't have a church. It's not my, this is God's church. This is all, it all belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. The building, everything's been consecrated for God's use. It's all God's. I'm God's, you're God's. Everything belongs to God." And he says in verse 29, "For I know that that after this, sometimes when there's not a pastor, and those of us that were here, when Brother Davis left, we were a long time before the Lord placed me to be pastor here. God protected us. There was some things that came in. There was some things that, I don't know where we would be today if we'd have gone down certain roads. Amen. There was even people local. Want to come and be your pastor? I'll be your pastor. We don't have anything to do with that. But I thank God for some of the saints that were elders that were established then. And God protects us. He says, because there'll be grievous wolves enter in among you. and not sparing the saints, not sparing the flock. And he says, even sometimes also among yourselves, there shall raise up some people that will try to draw people away by their own desires. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. One or two more verses of scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, 1 through 3. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also am an elder and a witness of suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, nor for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Again, as there was Peter giving instructions there, he said to feed the flock of God among you, not forcibly. Not to force. We're not, a pastor isn't to be up there by force, but willing. Not for money's sake. A lot of times, people out there in the world, they've taken up this occupation for the finances of things. There are many ministers that are well known across the world, TV evangelists. They have million-dollar estates. I don't have to say this of myself. The world says it. It shouldn't be that way. I shouldn't be living in a mansion of million. I was going to say 500,000, but nowadays the house is $500,000 regardless. $1 million. Properties, equities, all kinds of things. The world even recognized that that's not right. Not for finances, filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither being lord over God's heritage. God called me to be a pastor, to preach the word, not a lord. Not a requirement to beat on people or anything like that. Not to be a lord over God's heritage, but also to be an example by living with the flock. Help us, Lord, to be what we need to be. I said that was my last verse. I have one more verse of scripture. You know, God has put some restraints on his ministry. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, my last verse here. Titus chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. For the bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon anger, not given to wine or striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. But he gives a list there. A bishop must be blameless. And all these, not self-willed, soon anger, not given to wine or striker. We mentioned that the other week, not to be a striker. One part he says there, I always think about for my own personal self. He says, verse 9, holding fast faithful words which he hath been taught. You know, when I first started to preach and things, and of course Brother Davis was already gone. I believe a lot of times a pastor is brought up under another pastor over the years. And he's taught some things, but as Brother Davis was gone, and I preached a lot of things of what I remember or been taught. But as time went on, God had to teach me. God had to teach me some things, how to preach and how to recognize things and to present things and things. God had to do that. Now I realize we can be taught some things, but they need to be taught holiness. That ye may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So as I breathed this morning, God has a watchman. And you need to pray for your watchman. And there again, I say that not just because of me. I desire prayers. But in a sense, you need to pray for yourself. Lord, allow me to preach the word of God that I can make heaven home. Yes, The Bible says, husbands, obey your wives, or wives, obey your husbands. For this is right in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So for a wife to be obedient to her husband, long as it's not out of the things of God, long as he's not requiring her to do something out of the Lord, it's pleasing to God. See, there's always been a problem with sometimes people with authority. They don't want to submit to authority. People just don't want to submit. Whether it's a husband, children, parents. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. Always a little friction sometimes there. And parents aren't to be, and we can use the same thought here, lordship over their children. They're supposed to love them, care for them, raise them up. They're not supposed to do things to make them angry and those things like that. The same scenario. Well, God says the same thing as a pastor, to pray for your pastors, not only for my sake, but your sake. I want to make heaven my home. So whoever's preaching to me the word of God, by the grace of God, I want to be able to hear that. I want to read it. I want to see it. I want to understand it by the help of the Lord, that one day I can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because I obeyed the words of the Lord. May the Lord bless you as I have a song. If you'd like to get a songbook, stand, turn to page 146.
Seated for just a moment, please.